the book of Revelation in chapter 12 and verse 7. Is everybody there?
Yes.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Everybody all right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Holy Ghost knows what we need. Would you read it with me? And war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail, nor was place found for them in heaven any longer. So the dragon was cast down, out that, what? Serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, who he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now understand something. This is really important. One of the things is the first things we hear is that there was war in heaven. You know we're still in a war? And every day's a battle, right? Amen. And everybody who's not in the battle becomes a what? Casualty. Amen. Praise God. So we got to understand that there's war in heaven. We know that Satan, known as the dragon and serpent, was cast out of heaven. Okay, there was a realm where God was, like his throne room, in his arena in the heavens. It doesn't mean that he was just cast out of the spiritual realm. He was cast out there. He was sent to earth. He was actually sentenced to earth. Okay, and the atmosphere of the earth he's encaged in. Has everybody got it? Okay. We also see that his weapon is deception. Does everybody see that here? It says that he went around and deceived everyone, right? So his weapon is deception. So what you don't know is what he gets you at. Amen? So it's important for us to know, because where there's deception, there's darkness. Darkness means people can't see. Amen? For instance, there was a guy I knew that was going to church for 5 years, and he was using drugs. Okay? Constantly. And they didn't know what to do with him. They prayed for him, but nobody ever cast out a devil. They didn't know how to do self-deliverance. He came to a service, got freed, and healed instantly. To God be the glory. It doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it's gradual, isn't it? But do you understand that the individual was tormented for many years because somebody didn't know what to do? Amen? Now, we know that we have certain ministries, right? There are ministries of healings and so forth, and that's our major ministry. Ministries of deliverance and whatever. So God sets up certain ministries for specific things. But it doesn't mean that you still can't get healed. It doesn't mean that you still can't get delivered. Because if you're truly seeking God for deliverance and healing, He's either going to do it or send you somewhere to get it done. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. But we got to understand that the deception, right, is one of Satan's greatest weapons. Now you got to understand also that a demon, because we're going to talk about demonization, and that's tonight's title, demonization. A demon is a disembodied spirit. He's not a fallen angel. Many people think that demons are fallen angels. They're not fallen angels. They are disembodied spirits. Angels have bodies. Demons do not, and they need one. And we have a teaching called Demons, and you can check it out. So an angel has a body, a demon does not. All right? And they're looking for a body. Okay? Go to Isaiah 14. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to talk about demonization, but I want you to understand something. First of all, we know that there's a war going on. Satan and his angels were cast out from heaven, weren't they? Now, he took a third of the angels with him that chose to follow him. All right? He was known as Lucifer then. Isaiah chapter 14. In fact, he was the highest ranking angel, and the teaching on demons will explain all this to you. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Hallelujah. How you are fallen from heaven, O O Lucifer, son of the morning. Remember? Now, wait a minute. He was just cast out from heaven, right? So Isaiah is talking about what had happened. Okay? Isaiah is talking about what happened. He said, how you have fallen from heaven. All right. How you are what? Cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Now, he's going to be like God, isn't he? That's what he was claiming to be. And here's the Lord's response. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, which means hell, to the lowest depths of the what?
Pit.
Of the pit. And that's where Satan's throne's at right now, isn't it? It's in hell. Amen. Those who see you will gaze at you. This is what's going to happen eventually. And consider you saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Is this the one that's been deceiving me the whole time? Caused me so much torment? Who shook kingdoms? Who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities? And who did not open the house of his prisoners? Those are the ones in hell. Everybody see this? So we see that Lucifer was a high-ranking angel. He got thrown out of heaven, didn't he? Actually, he got cast out of heaven, and God cast him to the earth. So you and I are involved in this war, aren't we? Hallelujah. So we see fallen from heaven, removed, cast out, and so forth. So one of the things that the powers of darkness right now are doing is trying to destroy mankind, aren't they? Amen? Satan's kingdom has freedom right now to contaminate the human race with wickedness because of the fall of Adam. Does everybody understand that? Because of the fall of Adam, Satan's kingdom now has freedom to contaminate man with wickedness, doesn't he? And this war continues to this day, doesn't it? Until Christ returns. So you got to understand that the powers of darkness are trying to contaminate me and you in every way, in any way possible. Whether it's through drugs, alcohol, lust, perversion, fear, doubt, unbelief, all kinds of things he's trying to contaminate us with, isn't he? In fact, if you'll look at even the drug symbols, we know that, just for a little simple sample, like heroin was used as the dragon. Hello? Cocaine was used as the serpent. The Bible says that the strong wine bites you like a viper, right? So, these are symbols. And if those of us who were in the drug world, when we used to get kilos of cocaine and so forth, and heroin and whatever, there were stamps of some of these logos right on there. Right on the seals, there were stamps on there. Of these things, you know, whether they came off the boats or whatever. Some of them had satanic symbols on them, too. But we didn't know. We didn't care because we were serving the devil, weren't we? But hallelujah, to God be the glory, we're free. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Praise be to God. Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Starting at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Oh, hallelujah. Let's read it together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Hallelujah. We can finally get out of the way. You don't have to fix it anymore. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles of the devil, which means what? Trickery. Amen. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Here we go again. We're going to constantly be reminded about this in this ministry. You're not fighting flesh and blood. You're not fighting your boss. Hello? You're not fighting the pastor. or the house managers. Hello? You're not fighting your brothers. Amen? You're fighting demons! Simple. We don't fight flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, in spiritual places, things that you don't see, right? We're fighting demonic forces, aren't we? Now, we know that in the heavenly realm, in Satan's army, there are principalities and so forth. Some of those are in charge of nations and so forth. They oversee nations. These are high-ranking angels. And then you got strongmen that are high-ranking demons, and you have demons that are under their authority and so forth. And you got to remember something very important. They are disembodied spirits, the demons are, and they want to access you. Now, the principalities and so forth, these are angels of Satan. They do not possess people. They don't need to. They never have. They've never had a flesh body, so they don't desire one. But the demons did. And that's in the teaching of demons. Okay? Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 12. Now, demons are also known as unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, and so forth. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Get the tape. You'll get to the tape. You'll get it. Matthew 12. Hallelujah. Matthew 12 and verse 43. Now we know that there is many names for demons. Does everybody understand that? There's many names for them. People call them unclean spirit, which there are. I mean, a demon could be a spirit of lust, perversion. Amen. Spirit of manipulation. I mean, that's what demons are. But you got to understand that all the powers of darkness are anti-Christ. Anti-Christ. We're going to talk about a believer can have a demon and be possessed. Some people have a struggle with that. We're going to talk about that. Okay. In verse 43, would you read it with me? When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Now wait a minute, it says when an unclean spirit comes out of a man. Well, what's he going to do? I think I'll just leave this place. The only reason why an unclean spirit came out of this man is because the dude either got delivered, God, by a sovereign move, delivered the individual, or God sent that individual to go get delivered, or the dude had a sovereign move by God and an encounter with him, and God delivered him. Does everybody understand that? That's the only way a demon's going to leave a person. Amen? I mean, you can do it in your own strength for a while. In other words, people try to stop drinking and using drugs for a little bit, but they're tormented, aren't they? Because that demon wants to get fed. Especially the lust demon. Whoo! Oh man, he floats around constantly. You know, he floating around constantly. Telling all kinds of stuff. You know. But you know what they want to do is they want to get fed. And they get fed by your emotions. So you want to feed a demon? Get real emotional about him. In other words, that's why he plants the seeds. So that your emotions and your desires. Oh, man, I need to do that. And you find that you're fighting and fighting and fighting, even in anger and so forth. Okay? So it says one leaves a person. It says in verse 44, what does he say? Then this is what the demon says. I will return to what?
My house.
He's calling us his house. From which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Person got cleaned up. The problem was, is did they know how to stop him from coming back in? You know, many believers get freed and delivered and get bonkered again? Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first state. So is it also be with this wicked generation. So we see here that the spirit will always try to return to get access, and one of his purposes is to try and get access to me and you so he can bring more spirits back. One of the things that the powers of darkness want to do is they want to control us. You know, we have a teaching called Who's in Control? Something like that. I don't remember. But anyway. One of the things the powers of darkness want to do is they want to control us. There's three ways that the demons can hinder us. They want to indwell us, they want to attach themselves to us, and they want to afflict us. They want to indwell us. That's their main purpose, is to indwell us. But they can attach themselves to us without indwelling, and they can also afflict us without attaching themselves or indwelling us. Amen? What they're trying to do is actually get full control of you. I always share with people, if you don't have control over one of your members, somebody else does. It doesn't mean that your head is going to spin and you're going to foam at the mouth and puke green things. Demons are not that stupid. Well, not all of them, but some of them are. Okay. Yeah. That's why we call them a deaf and dumb spirit, right? Hallelujah. So you got to understand that one of the problems in the body of Christ is there are many people who do not believe that a believer, even a spirit-filled believer, can have a devil. And that's just plumb crazy. You can have one dwelling in you. You can have one dwelling right in you. He can be dormant, and you could have gotten him from birth and so forth, that you've never been delivered from him. That's why you renounce. Okay? Just to give you an example, go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 1, let's read it together. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now wait a minute. It says, now come on, does everybody understand what they just read? It says that in the latter times, many are going to depart from the faith. That means that they were believers. Well, how are they going to depart from the faith? By being demonized. Now, demonization is either indwelling, attached, or afflicted. Everybody got it? Indwelling, attached, or afflicted. And it says many are going to fall from the faith by being demonized by these deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. A doctrine of demon is always a representation of a doctrine of self-desire. Me, me, me. If you deal with a lot of me, 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 that means you have a demon. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to foam at the mouth. Has everybody got it? Well, that's just my flesh. Well, who's running your flesh? Hello? It got real quiet in here. Right? Satan's greatest fear is that he becomes exposed. His second greatest fear is against believers that know how to expose him. He wants believers put out of the way. So Satan can do his work. Now, many people don't believe that a demon can dwell with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me explain something to you. The Bible tells that we live and have our being in God. Right? Yeah. Okay, everything is maintained by the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's held together. The Word of God created it, the Holy Spirit maintains it, doesn't he? He holds it all together. So if the Bible says that you and I live and have our being in God, well then the demons that were created are in God, aren't they? Does everybody understand that? If we live and have our being in God and the demons are in God, well then what's that got to do with the Holy Spirit Come on, look how long. I mean, if Satan is dwelling in God right now, isn't he? Aren't demons dwelling in God right now? So just because somebody has the Holy Spirit does not mean that they cannot have a demon. Because it's our responsibility to remove them. Has everybody got it? In fact, we got a teaching about keys of the house that explains about the rooms and so forth, and the demons in one room and the spirit in another room. Amen? Okay. You know, a believer can be partly bound or completely bound. I mean, for some examples, look at what happened to Saul, King Saul. Wasn't he spirit-filled? Amen? What happened? The distressing demon took him over because of his disobedience, right? I mean, you think about some people that you knew that were spirit-filled and bit the bait and went out and did the wrong things. And they're out there in the streets, serving Satan big time, using drugs and alcohol, stealing and everything else. Right? Well, they still the seed of God, don't they? I mean, and they're crying out to God, aren't they? Well, they're not crying out to God if the Holy Spirit isn't dwelling somewhere in there, right? I mean, the Bible says no one can call Jesus a curse, right? And people are calling out in the name of God, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, aren't they? Amen. But they're still out there serving the devil, aren't they? Amen. So that's ridiculous that because you're a believer that you can't have a devil, because you can. And you can get to that place where you're actually serving Satan possessed. Not 100%. Somebody got it? Because you're still crying out to God. Someone that's 100% ain't crying out no more. Amen? So does everybody understand that? You and I can be demonized even though we have the Holy Spirit. All right? Look at Acts chapter 5. Everybody's checking, man, do I have a demon? I pray you check and find them and get rid of them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Acts chapter 5. Verse 1. Hallelujah. Now a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter, being spirit-filled, with Ananias and Sapphira who were spirit-filled in their church. Hello? Peter said, Ananias, why has what? Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and kept back the price of the land. Why has Satan filled your heart? To fill is to control. That's why you and I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that He controls us, doesn't it? So when Peter said this, it's because Ananias and Sapphira were demonized. They opened the door by lying, didn't they? They were demonized. They said, why did you let Satan fill your heart? Why did you let Satan control your heart? And they died, both of them, for lying to the Holy Spirit. They were demonized. Amen? That's what they had to do. You know what they had to do? Is repent quickly. You know what? We were considering lying, and you know what? I can't go through with it. Now you snagged them. And he commanded that lying spirit to leave. See, you'll know the fruits of that spirit that's either in you or attached to you or afflicting you. And you know what? Don't be concerned whether he's in you, afflicting you, or attached to you. Just get rid of him. Amen. Sometimes you'll even feel him leave you. Anybody can pick one up. I don't care if you have the greatest healing ministry. Remember, Jesus said, many will come to me, saying, I've done this, I've healed, I've prophesied, I've done this, I've done that. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know why? They were demonized. They did lawless things that allowed the demons to come in there and begin to control them. And they were doing, they were using the money for self-gain. They were abusing things, fornicating, whatever it was. They became demonized. These preachers and so forth and people who are believers and end up in fornication and lust, and so they become demonized. They open the door to demonic activity. Let's go right to the original state. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Starting at verse 1. Would you read it with me? Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you what? Touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. So he called God a liar, right? Well, she still can talk to him. You know what? She accepted that God was a liar. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the both of the, and the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And the Lord walked in the garden, and he found them, and he said, hey, what's up? And they ran from him, and he said, and Adam said, man, we were afraid. I was afraid. And the Lord said, who told you that? See, they didn't even know what fear was, did they? You know why? Because when they touched, when they ate that fruit, he had entered them. From that point on, man fell. It was over. There wasn't anything God can do except for set a plan of redemption. Amen. Amen. To reconcile God to man. First, he had to reconcile himself to them before he could reconcile them to him. God, you could not get forgiveness unless God forgave you. Hello? Hallelujah. So Adam and Eve, spirit-filled, amen?
Amen.
Spirit-filled believers got demonized, right? I mean, let's go back to the original state. They were spirit-filled, but they had glorified bodies, man. I mean, you know, I mean, they were one with Daddy. They walked and talked with God, went face-to-face in the garden. So he walked in the garden with them, right? They knew him. And the serpent deceived them, demonized them, and took over. And the fall opened freedom to all of their children. That Adam and Eve would ever have. That he, the powers of darkness, could contaminate them with wickedness. Now, let's talk a little bit about this here. How did Satan enter? Let me share with you a couple ways Satan will enter. Touch unclean things. See unclean things, hear unclean things. The word taste means desire unclean things. Those are the four areas he can enter you. See, hear, taste, and what else? Touch. Those four areas is how Satan will enter you. Does everybody got it? Touch, see, hear, and taste, or desire. These are four ways he'll enter you. All right? I'm talking about even after you're a believer. Okay? After you're a believer. Oh, he's not giving up on you. After you've been converted, you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, we know the three temptations are lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Those are the three temptations. But he can still enter you by what you taste, or what you desire, what you touch, what you see, and what you hear. Remember we just said that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the deceiving spirits, people, many will fall from the faith by what? What they hear. There's a lot of people who think they're hearing from God. God told me this, God told me that. Let me tell you something, God never interrupts himself. Never interrupts himself. I get a lot of people that tell me God said this and God said that and whatever. And I know that it's not of God. I know it. But they were, let me tell you something, you cannot counsel a demon. You can only cast it out. You can't try and convince a demon of anything. It's strong and stubborn in his own way. The only thing you can do is let the course run until it finally, boom. And the person goes, huh, but I thought this was my wife. I thought this was my husband. I thought this, I thought that. Well, if you've got counsel, hello, if you got counsel, you would know. The Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there's safety and wisdom, isn't there? If you really got counsel on it, God would give you confirmation. Now, the devil will give you confirmation, but he won't give you confirmation through offices of God. Only God gives you confirmation through his offices, but the devil will give you confirmation everywhere else he can. Does everybody understand that? That's why he puts pastors, preachers, teachers, evangelists, and so forth, right? So that you can get confirmation through the office. You get confirmation anywhere else, but besides through the office. I mean, now, if you get confirmation somewhere else, and the witness is with the office, you're on. But if it's not with the office, it's not God. Never. God will never interrupt himself. Never. That's why he places authority, doesn't he? It all will come out in the end. The manifestation, it will all come out in the end. Even though it may seem hunky-dory and everything is wonderful, wait to the towards the end. It's going to manifest. Amen? How many times do you think something was God? And you realize later, man, it wasn't. But man, you could have sworn it was. Ooh, you'd lay down your life about it. You'd lay down your life that this person was right and this is it and God's giving you confirmation. But no one got confirmation from the office. And then to find out later, oh man, whoa, I should, what? Hallelujah. Remember that. The devil can give you confirmation everywhere but the office. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Yeah, well, my friend had the same dream. Praise God. Did you get confirmation from the office? You don't think the devil can give you a dream? Come on. Second Corinthians chapter 6. That's when people begin to associate with familiar spirits. And they open the door to it. Familiar means they act like the Holy Ghost. But you can't counsel a demon. Remember that. You just can't counsel. It's someone who's not willing to receive counsel who's got a demon. You may call it stubbornness or strong-willed. God calls it a demon. The Bible says rebellion is witchcraft. Witchcraft represents demons. Amen? Amen? No, we need to get real, man. We need to search ourselves through. God wants to free us. We're to be blemish-free from the world. Then everyone in this room say, Lord, I give you my life. Amen. Then don't take it back. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Ooh, let's go back to 12, okay? Let's go back to verse 12. You are not restricted by us, but you are what? Restricted by your own affections. That means desires. Amen? Now in return for the same I speak to as children, as you also be open. You also be open. Do not be what? Unequally yoked with unbelievers. Why? Because you can become demonized. Now, an unbeliever does not mean someone who's just an unbeliever. It means someone who's a believer is not walking right. You have to be careful. The Bible says, separate yourself from those who are not. Remember, Paul warned them. Hey, don't be hanging around those that are not walking according to the doctrine. Amen? For what fellowship is righteousness with what? He calls it lawlessness, doesn't he? And what communion has light with what? Darkness. And what accord is Christ with what? Belial. Or what part is a believer with a what? Unbeliever. People can get demonized. Now, it doesn't mean that you're working with them. God knows. But when you begin to go to football games with them, when you begin to do all kinds of things with them and hang around with them, hello? You'll become demonized. How? Afflicted or attached or indwelled? Now, you're not going to get indwelled right away unless you did those four things. Okay? But the rest will be afflicted and attached. That's why I always tell guys that those demons like to surface. That's called attached. That's why everybody says shake the dust off before they come home. You know how many guys bring demons home with them? Because they're too lazy? You know why? The spirit of laziness has hit them. And they've become deceived and they no longer read that deliverance, that shaking the dust off anymore. You know why? There's a demon in them and they have demons. They become demonized and they don't even know it. The devil does not show up to you and say, hi, I'm a devil and I'm going to hang around and surf you for a while. You got a good wave I'd like to use. He doesn't do that. He comes in the slyest way. You know how a snake goes, that's how he moves. Slides right in. Slides right in. Next thing you know, you compromise, right? Then you have doubt. Then what happens? Unbelief. And you're doing it your way. No longer are you strong in the Lord, you're strong in self. You're trusting in self. I don't need counsel. I'm all right. I can do it my way. No, I don't feel like, you know. Hello? It's called demonization. Has everybody got it?
Amen.
You won't foam at the mouth from that. Not yet. In verse 16, you may be spitting out of the mouth of cursed things. That's about it. And what agreement has the temple of God with what? Idols. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will what? Dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore means if. Therefore means if. Remember, sin is what separates us from God, doesn't it? Amen? He said, now if you what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And do not what? Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So what we need to do is de-demonize ourselves, right? We need to go through the demonization car wash, right? So it's our responsibility to shake off the dust. It's our responsibility, right, to remove those spirits that we've picked up through what we heard, through what we saw, through what we desired, and through what we touched. Now, people can touch things in their thoughts, can't they? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1 through 4. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, And indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Hallelujah. But I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve. Remember, his greatest weapon is what? Deception. By his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, hello, that's called demonization, which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Now, how about putting, what does he mean by putting up with it? In other words, you'll take care of it. If you've picked up another spirit, you'll take care of it. You put up with, you take care of it. Everybody got it? Okay. So you and I can receive a different spirit. It's our responsibility to take care of it, isn't it? Go to verse 13. Read it with me. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves in the apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Now these are believers who become demonized. Has everybody got it? These are believers who become demonized that are out preaching the gospel on another Jesus. And they don't realize it. See, that's what the spirit of error is, isn't it? Isn't it a demon? What is the spirit of Antichrist? All demons are parts of the spirit of Antichrist, right? Amen? Now, I got a call tonight from an individual, somebody that knows an individual that was a pastor of a big church, who just got arrested for crack. And he's been in jail and so forth. And my wife talked to the individual. They don't know anything about the power of the Spirit. They believe tongues was for then, and they don't know nothing. Hello? I mean, it started in a simple thing. It wasn't, he just chose, it started from an injury and using pain medication and this and that, and the next thing led to whatever. But they don't know anything about the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the deception of the devil says that you utilize the Word of God. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Well, first you got to get set free. It didn't say when you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you got freed. It said you got granted life, eternal life. And that God gave you the sword of the Spirit and the weapons of know-how to know what to do. Does everybody understand that? Because the Bible says that many people didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they didn't get it. They thought just accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior was sufficient. And they went around fornicating all over again and doing the things they shouldn't. And they don't know they're on their way to hell. Because who you serve when you die is where you go. Amen? Hallelujah. And these were righteous ministers at one time. Now they're lawless ministers. Preaching another Jesus. Using the Spirit. Listen, man, we're getting at an age that's closing. We're getting at an age that's closing. It's called the age of grace. That's why, you know what? Many of the believers who are doing the things they shouldn't be doing, our God is calling back in a quick and great way. He's convicting them out there, giving them dreams of being in fire and going to hell. What's he trying to do? Rescue them. Rescue them. Claiming to be believers. Of course, we know that the word believe means to follow. Right? Amen. Because time is running out. He's moving quick and rapidly. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So we see that a new believer must learn self-deliverance and learn how to maintain self-deliverance. People learn how to maintain self-deliverance by what they call truth encounters. It's truth that sets us free, right? So you've got to listen to the truth not just accept it, but receive it. Believe it and use it. All right? It is a continuous place where you and I must stay clean. Demonization can be attained after a conversion, even to a spirit-filled believer, by various sins that they commit or sins that have been committed against them. Now, let me share with you. Sins that have been committed against you is part of bitterness. One of the open doors, the great open doors, is bitterness, anger, vengeance. Woo-hoo. We'll talk more about that. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. You know, I was reading a testimony. I was reading this book, and it said that this woman, Ephesians chapter 4, that this woman was demonized. And she was telling her friend that the Lord told her to fast for 40 days. Well, she fasted and God would deliver her. Well, the woman fasted for 40 days and died. You know why? Because it wasn't God who told her to fast 40 days. She died. And she could have sworn that God told her to fast 40 days and he was going to deliver her. And she ended up dying. You know why? She didn't go to office and find out if God told her it was the right thing. She didn't seek counsel on that. She didn't go to the office and find out what was what. She might have got confirmation from her girlfriend. Yeah, God told me to tell you that too, fast 40 days. Well, you know what? You better go check with the office that God has put you over because you may end up dead too. I'm telling you, I read that today. It blew my mind. Familiar spirits, latter days, right? Latter times. Are we not dealing with deceiving spirits? Doctrines of demons? Let me tell you, the devil's going to do everything he can to kill you. That's why God has put us in the body of Christ. Believe me, there's a lot of people out there doing granola things. Nutty and fruity, right? Thinking they're doing wonderful things for God. God is not interested in your sacrifice. He's interested in your obedience. That's why he put offices in the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to learn something tonight and kick devil's butt. Amen. Put a tattoo on your head and you get up in the morning and says, come out in Jesus' name. So you can read it in the mirror. Read it backwards. Praise God. In verse 25, Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Is everybody there? Read it with me. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Let me tell you, they will open a door to a demonization lying. Yeah, but I didn't do it. It wasn't me. It was her. She called me. I didn't call her. Hello. I didn't do it. I tithe. Give 10% of to God. I don't need to give 10%. Hallelujah. That's right. I need to give 90%. Hallelujah. Therefore, put it away, lie, and let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. It says, be what? Angry, but do not sin. That's called righteous anger. What you're supposed to do is hate sin. Amen. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. You want to give place to the devil? There you go. Lying, anger, bitterness. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Let no what? Corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all what? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God in Christ, forgave you. Of course, you know, unforgiveness opens the door to demonic activity. People are angry and bitter with someone. I ain't forgiven them. You're demonized. Instantaneously, no hesitation. Bam. Devil said, all right, yes, I got a full course meal tonight. And he invites everybody he knows. Now, you know what that just did? Opened up the door to anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. Opened up the door to coarse jesting, speaking evil, speaking against dignitaries, rebellion, you name it. There's a demon there. James 3.
I ain't got to listen to this.
Demonization. Hallelujah. James 3 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Praise God. James 3 verse 13. Glory to God. Let's read it together. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Wow. If there's bitterness and self-seeking, people are going to boast and lie against the truth or compromise it. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what?
Demonic.
You reading it with me? For where envy and self-seeking exist, what else exists? Confusion and every evil thing that are there. Every evil thing. That means the devil's got access to you. Self-seeking. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then what? Peaceable, gentle, willing to yield to the Holy Spirit, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of all righteousness is sown in the peace by those who make peace. Demonization. Sometimes it causes unexplainable fears and confusions, uncontrollable emotions and bitter, jealousy, selfish ambitions, anxieties, anxiousness, arrogance, lying, cursing and foul mouth, evil thought life, evil habits and imaginations and fantasies and sexual desires. Four major sin areas of demonization is sexual practices, illicit sexual practices, deep-seated anger and bitterness, hatred, rage and rebellion, self-destructive impulses. People try to commit suicide, self-destruct. You know, sometimes people get it to a position, and I know that I was there myself. My last resort was suicide. You know, when I was out using drugs. It's like, man, I can't take this anymore. I'm about to kill myself. It's my only way out. Right? So number one was illicit sexual practices. Number two was the deep-seated angers and bitterness, hatred, rage, rebellion, self-destructive impulses. Number three, a sense of rejections. People walk around always feeling rejected. Guilt. Poor self-esteem. Unworthiness and shame is a representation of demonization. And number four. Occult uses. People using horoscopes and psychics, tarot cards and Ouija boards. And they want to control everything. Controlling power over circumstances and controlling people. They use manipulation for their own gain. Amen? It causes isolation, deception, and indwelling of evil spirits. Has everybody got it? Let me repeat this. The first one is illicit sexual practices and fantasies. The second one is deep-seated anger, bitterness, hatred, rage, rebellion, self-destructive impulses. Number three is a sense of rejection and guilt, poor self-esteem, unworthiness or shame. The fourth one is occult use of horoscopes and psychics, tarot cards, Ouija boards, controlling power over others and circumstances with manipulation. You know, it's amazing how many people I talk to that are believers that still read their horoscope. They're demonized. Blows my mind. Blows my mind. You know, they use that little, keeps supposedly evil wind catchers,
dream catchers.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. They drive around in their cars. I saw a guy that was a pastor, assistant pastor, or teacher of a Bible school, selling them off of his front lawn. And the Lord stopped me, and I wondered why He sent me there. Thinking, what do You send me here for, Lord? Tell this man. Tell him what? He's teaching kids in a Sunday school. And this guy's got, I mean, he had huge dream catchers. And he told me, what keeps evil spirits away? I said, man, that draws evil spirits. These indwelling spirits cause isolation, deception. They cause isolation and deception. Amen? Let me share something with you. This can start before you were born. It can start right from birth. As soon as you were born, from the family line, the demon can enter you. Right from that. It goes from birth, okay? Now let me show you. To child abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, and psychological abuse can bring demon possession and or demonization in people's lives. Most things that open the door, children and so forth who are sexually abused or individuals. Sexually abused, physically abused as children, and psychologically abused, and religiously abused. They'll also open the door. People beating their kids over their head with a Bible can't even walk upright themselves because they're hypocrites. It opens the door to demonization. Go to Hosea chapter 4. See, God has hedges of protections around us. And as we as a sin, or we allow certain, we do certain things in touching and so forth, and certain desires, the hedge of protection begins to weaken around us, where demonization begins to encounter us. In verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge means truth, doesn't it? Amen? Because you have rejected knowledge or my truth, I will reject you from being priests for me. And that means closeness to God. That's the first office we're to fulfill. It said, and because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will reject your children. Ouch. That's how children are brought forth. Because the ancestral lines have forgotten the laws of God, and the children are birthed, and demons are waiting to enter them right then and there. Because the hedge of protection is not there. Most of us in this room had that. Hello? Didn't realize it. And some of us still have demons in us that are dormant, and they only come up when they're triggered. Satan's purpose is to destroy humanity by destroying man's children and their household. Has anybody got it? Satan's purpose is to destroy humanity by destroying man's children and their households. Familiar spirits leading to leading believers astray because they use desire of flesh. True experience with the Holy Spirit produces humility, not pride. True experience with the Holy Spirit produces humility, not pride, not arrogance. Hallelujah. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You know, demonization can cause sicknesses too, can't it? Amen? But not all sicknesses are caused by demonization. Do you understand that? So you got to have discern about that. Philippians chapter 4. I mean, if you read through the Bible, you'll find out that Jesus, a third of his ministry, was casting out devils. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 4. Would you read it with me? Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Whoa. Somebody who can't. Anxious. Anxiety. I gotta. When, how, who, where? They've been demonized. There's a spirit of anxiety there. Can't sit still. Do you ever sit with somebody who's constantly shaking? There ain't no peace in them. It's demonized. It's the presence of a spirit. There's no peace. Somebody got it? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer. Ooh, that's one of the things that, man, let me tell you something. You have a hard time praying, you got a devil. Ain't no doubt about it. You picked one up somewhere. Something's there to prevent you from praying. Well, I don't need to pray. Or you just picked up two of them. Come on. Every time you say, I don't, no one come in until you finally get pushed right out of position and go back right where you started from. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that a blessing? Go to chapter 2 in Philippians. In verse 12. Praise be to God. So we know that truth sets us free. Are we learning truth tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Now you've got to utilize it. You've got to do it. Amen. Now some of us got freed up as the Holy Spirit, right from the beginning of the service. Now the Holy Spirit quickened me today because the powers of darkness are going to try and interfere from you receiving. See, the devil doesn't mind if you accept something, but he doesn't want you to receive something. That's why a lot of believers are out there going, I can accept God can heal. I can accept that. But I can't believe he can heal me. Hello? I can accept that God can deliver, but I can't receive that he can deliver me. I can accept that God can do all things, but I can't receive that the Spirit would use someone to pray in tongues. Hello? Okay. Verse 12. Everybody there? Let's read it. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hello? Work out your own salvation. Work out your own demonization. Get rid of it. Clean yourself up with fear and trembling. When you sense it, attack it. Don't run from it. Attack it. Many people run from it. Remember, we just read that we're going to find out that Satan, when we finally see him, is going to go, man, is this the one that tormented me with all the stuff? That little worm? For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without what? Come on, say it. Everybody can say it. Complaining and disputing. Demonization. That you may become what? Blameless and harmless. Do you understand that? So he said, listen, quit your grumbling and complaining. Because what does it do? It spots you and it opens the door for demonization. Because it says right here, he says that you can become, so that you become blameless and what? Harmless, because if you can become demonized, you can become harmful. Let that get in for a second here. If you become demonized, you can become harmful. Why? Because the devil will use you to contaminate everybody else.
Hello.
Hallelujah. Let's read verse 13 again, will you? For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day, Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Praise God. Go to Psalm 91. Well, I just don't believe in these demon stuff. Of course not. You're deceived and you're filled. Not with the Holy Ghost. You've just been drained. Hallelujah. Psalm 91 and verse, let's see here. Go to verse 15. Let's start at 14. Let's read it together. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Woohoo! I will set him on high because he knows my name. He shall call me and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. And I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let me tell you something. The Lord delights in delivering his children. Amen. Let's close in Mark 16. We'll probably have to go a little bit. Now, we have two other teachings about deliverance, don't we? Yeah. Maintaining deliverance and so forth. 1 and 2, yeah. Should probably go to 3 and 4. 5 and 6, praise God. But anyways, we'll probably go more into this later. In Mark 16, in verse 16, hallelujah. Mark 16 and verse 16. Praise God. So remember that demonization can enter through sins of a believer and sins against a believer. Amen? And he sinned against me. Well, better forgive quickly. In verse 16, would you read it with me? He who believes, and what's believe mean?
Follow.
He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned.
And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. Say it again. In my name they will cast out demons. Why? Because God is expecting me and you to constantly keep ourselves clean. Spotless. So he says you're going to cast out demons. Listen, if you can't cast one out of yourself, you ain't going to cast one out of nobody else. Hello? And I'm telling you, there's times when I tell that demon, get out of me and leave me alone. There's times in the service I have to turn my face away from the congregation and get that devil off me. That's trying to hinder me during a service. Sometimes I gotta go right up to the Lord and say, Lord, get this thing off me. I remember one time I was leaving a place, I just got done preaching. And I got in my van and I was driving it home and these huge, huge demons were in there. In the back, and I kept saying, oh, you did a great job, guy. Oh, this and oh, that. And I knew it was the demon of pride and the demon of greed and selfish. And I said, I command you in the name of Jesus to leave this van. And he didn't budge. And I'm thinking, what's up, Lord? And you know what he put in my spirit? He said, I'm giving you a rest. Just call on me tonight. And I said, Father, I didn't even finish the word Father, nor you were thrown out of my van. And the peace and the presence of God was restored. And I just laughed all the way home. I didn't even have to remove them. He was giving me a rest. But those demons were right there. Sure, you do something good, the first thing the devil wants to do is pat you on the back, tell you you're a good person, and give you all the glory. Yeah, man. I did a real good job. No, you didn't do nothing. Amen. The only thing you did was yield to the Holy Ghost. Even the gifts of the Spirit are not yours or mine. They're His. Amen? He's just looking for someone to yield to the Holy Ghost. Not to the familiar spirit. To the Holy Spirit. Amen? And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. That's a sign. Cast out a demon, speak in new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. Of course, you're not going to drink cyanide and test God, right? You're not going to go around picking up serpents because you'll die. You'll get bit and die. You're not going to. It means you have dominion over the powers of darkness. Amen. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will what?
Recover.
The first hands you need to be laid on is yourself. Amen. Get rid of that demon. I don't care if they're afflicting you, attaching you, or indwelling you. Get undemonized and stay filled with the peace and joy and righteousness of the Lord. Amen. Your fruits will show whether you're demonized or not. In fact, you'll see them yourself first. Sometimes. But you can ignore them and everybody else will see them. Amen?
Amen?
Everybody all right?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
We're going to take authority, not run from it, but run to it and start kicking butt. Amen? Jesus paid a price for me and you. Hello? Let's use what He's given us. Praise God.
Yeah.
All right? Everybody okay? All right. Father, we give You glory. We give You honor and we give You praise. Lord, we thank You for truth that sets us free. Now, Lord, I ask that You'll give everyone in here an increase of discernment, that they would see what's hindering them and not be so concerned by the spirit of criticism on everyone else, but that every one of us would be concerned about us. Us. Us as an individual. You said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, we thank You for the power and the anointing of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You, Lord, that He who is in us is greater than He who is in the world, and that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And we take the sword of the Spirit and we sever every entanglement of demonic activity in our lives. We repent for all sin, for all manipulation and rebellion, for all selfishness and greed. And we ask, Lord, that You take Your rightful place in our spirit, our soul, and in our body. That we may be one with You. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen,
Amen and hallelujah!
Hallelujah.